champion who rule by intimidation.
Beat me if you can survive if I let you.
Taz would pick up guys nearly twice his size and drop them on their heads.
He is a human suplex machine.
Now he's bringing his no-nonsense New York swagger to the podcast world. This is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
All right, everybody. This is he, Taz, and welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. I'd like to thank you all for downloading this episode and subscribing to the Human Podcast Machine on iTunes or play.it. First and foremost, I'd like to definitely thank... Well, let me do this first. Let me tell you who's coming up in this episode. I think you guys all know. That's why you downloaded it. Austin Aries, one of the greatest in the business today. Austin Aries will be the guest on this episode. Just a great interview. Just a great guy. Just a great chat with A-Double. You know, I'm a big fan of this guy personally and professionally. I think for those that don't know much about him, we'll learn about Aries. He's just a very unique cat. Great guy. Looking forward to see what you guys think of this particular interview. Also going to give a little bit of a breakdown of some stuff on Raw. Not a lot in a few seconds here. But first and foremost, this is what I was going to get at. I want to thank everybody for Taz Live last week. Everybody at CBS Radio and at WFAN. In New York City for opening up the studio. Boomer and Carton for allowing me to work in their studio all week. Appreciate those guys. And Al Dukes, their producer, just for that. But especially the guys and gals at Play.it, at Play It and CBS Radio and CBS Digital for, giving a shot on trying something out here with Taz Live, Body Slams and Beyond. So it was, what I did was basically what it was. It was a lot about the business, most of it, my personality, my fun, my crew around me, and talking about all the stuff besides wrestling. So, we'll see. I got a feeling maybe it'll come back around real soon. I think there are probably meetings happening as we speak. Thousands upon thousands of radio executives are circling the wagons. Might be a slight exaggeration there, but you get my drift. But it should be back sooner rather than later. Taz Live, I'm hoping it's coming back soon. And as soon as I get the official word of what we're going to do from my end and from CBS's end, I will drop it on my Twitter, let you guys know. All my friends and family and fans and supporters of my show and me personally and professionally. So I will drop that via Twitter and let you guys know. Now, as far as Raw, I got to tell you, it was an okay show. I mean, look, they had an uphill battle. I mean, they were going against the NCAA championship, basketball championship, national championship, I should say. And congratulations to Duke, the Blue Devil Nation, getting a victory on Wisconsin. And Duke grabs that, I believe it's their fifth national championship. So that's, I think that officially makes you a dynasty in hoops, in college hoops. So congrats to Duke and congrats to Wisconsin. The Badgers had an amazing year and played great in the tournament. Obviously, that's why they made it to the finals. But it was a great game, close game, fun game. Was able to catch Raw via my DVR after the game. I watched the first hour of Raw, then I watched the basketball game. So, and I went back and forth to Raw, but a couple things I want to talk about, like, with the WWE, with Raw, one thing that jumped out was the announcer situation. Michael Cole was not there. Byron Saxton was back out there as the play-by-play guy, but Booker T and JBL were back as the color commentators. And you know, a lot of people were tweeting at me because I talked about this on Taz Live last week about, hey, Byron's back. It's great they're giving him another chance, or he shouldn't be out there, or what do you think of this, and all this stuff. So I figured I'll just leave those opinions for here, and that's what I'm going to give you right now. I got nothing against Byron Saxton, one iota. I mean, I hope the guy does great. I just think that last week he just was drowning and it was in over his head. And he wasn't able to... Look, I've said it last week. I'll say it again. I'll say it till the day I die. As a pro wrestling announcer, I don't care if you're a play-by-play or color commentator, you need to have the wherewithal and the ability to do a show by yourself. That's it. It's that simple. Joey Styles did it for years in ECW. Okay, not many guys have done it. but most of the guys are equipped and able to do it. It's hard. It's very hard. But I you know, Byron Saxton, here's a guy last week. He comes out, and some people that don't watch SmackDown didn't really know him that well. But, you know, the guy's been a color commentator on SmackDown for quite some time. I don't remember the exact dates, but, you know, this is not his first rodeo. He does the post and pregame show on the WWE Network. So this is not a new announcer. You know, very well-spoken guy, good-looking guy, all this stuff. You know, he looks great on camera, sounds great. Just, I think last week, it wasn't like I was bashing him. I just felt like, you know, he had an opportunity to really be on their grand stage of Monday Night Raw. And I instead of hitting a home run, I think he got like a Texas leaguer. For those that don't know what that is, baseball fans, that's a that's a bloop single past the infield. So that's what I think he did. I mean, now, this past week on Raw, when he had a support staff of JBL and Booker T, I think he did a much better job, but that's to the credit of the announcers around him. He had a lot of credibility around him, and WWE did the right thing by protecting him with that, and he also did the right thing by not having Michael Cole out there, because they said he had some kind of a bulging disc, I believe, in his neck. I think they did a great job recapping twice in the show that Brock Lesnar suspended, he should be fired, he went nuts, he went crazy, that's why Cole's not here. They did a great job of that. I really believe they did, and that didn't surprise me. I mean, some would say, well, if he's really suspended, why would they show a package of him doing all this physicality and getting suspended? Well, because it's entertainment. It's a show. That's why. They're bringing people up to speed who didn't see it last week. And it was also a great segment when he went nuts and beat everybody up, so you got to show it. So that's why. So, you know, loosen up the reins a little bit and don't be so stiff. I mean, it's entertainment. It's a show. I mean, that's the job. So, I mean, you know, escape from reality a little bit here. You know what I mean? But I think they did a great job recapping that. But the thing is, with Byron Saxton sitting there with JBL and Booker T, you know, those guys are both, you know, type A personalities, larger than life personalities. I consider myself in that same realm. And sometimes a guy who's more of a type B personality, like a Byron Saxton with his on-air personality, he can get drowned out there too. And I felt like he did. And I'm not blaming JBL or Booker T. I think those guys did their job. And that's the way it goes. You gotta keep up. You want to be on the porch, you know. You want to run with the big dogs, or stay on the porch. And as the expression goes, and I think Byron Saxton was better than last week, but wasn't great. I mean, again, I'm very critical, as you can tell, if you didn't listen to Taz Live this week, and you could download it right here on iTunes or play it so you could hear any of the Taz Live stuff you missed, but I'm very critical on announcing. I'm critical on myself on announcing. I mean, I'm tough on myself. I mean, I'm never, every show I do, I want to do better. Especially WWE announcing, because it's tough to be an announcer there, and it's about pressure, and they put that pressure on you, and again, this is not a new guy. Look, I think WWE did the right thing by putting him back out there. I think that shows they didn't give up on the guy. I think that's cool. I think that's great. And I think he did a better job, Byron Saxton. He seemed more comfortable. He just seems very... He's not projecting. His voice is not projecting. You got to project. You got to take control. You're in an arena full of people on live TV, you know, and sandwiched by two, you know, multi-time world champions. I mean, that have 25 years each year's experience. You got to project. You got to bring it out. You know, I mean, quite frankly, if you know, Josh Matthews and myself, we sit in a studio 9-10 a.m. weekly in Nashville, Tennessee. And we don't hide the fact we're in a studio, and we call wrestling matches that air on Friday nights, and we bring more exuberance and energy and excitement, I humbly say, than some guys bring that are sitting ringside. So, you know, that's to Josh Matthews' credit, and I'll toot my own horn on that too. I mean, but we work hard on that. That's not an easy thing. You know, well, will your energy be good if you're in a studio and you're removed from the arena? And you're not ringside. Well, hell yeah. Okay, that's been done by the better wrestling announcers for many years in this business. Post-production audio, post-production voiceover. This is not a new thing. So that's what professionals do. But if you can't bring excitement and energy in your ringside, well, that's a problem. Okay, so let's move on. AJ Lee. So AJ Lee retired. Everybody knows about that. You know, CM Punk's better half. She retires, and it was a shocking deal. for the most part, shocking. I mean, I was shocked. I wasn't shocked. I was very surprised. Let me not use overstatements here. It was very surprising that she retired. You know, everybody saw, you know, weeks back she had some kind of, she took a stiff shot at Stephanie McMahon via the old Twitter machine. And next thing you know, she's still getting pushed. I mean, which shows that WWE was not going to, you know, let personal stuff get in the way of business. And I think that was cool. She was just at Mania doing all this stuff. She's been getting a push. And then she retires. And I think that on Raw, they had the announcers react to this and congratulate her and bring forward her tweet and show her boots and her travel bag. And I thought that was very high class and high road of the WWE. And I thought JBL, Byron, and Booker did a great job selling it. That didn't surprise me. That's WWE 101. We'll take the high road. Everybody thinks we're going to bash her or ignore her existence. We're not going to do that. We're going to take the high road. And they did. And that's the right way to do it. No reason to ignore it. I think old school WWE, they would have ignored it. Okay, it's a newer time now. Not just WWE, but in the business, due to you guys, the fan base, and the power of the internet, and the internet wrestling community. Let's be frank. I mean, so there's a monster's voice, and it used to be that it was just a small section of the audience. You guys, now you are the audience for the most part. So, excuse me, I lost my esophagus for a moment, but I digress. I thought that they did the right thing by acknowledging that. I'll tell you this right now, any of those NXT girls, man, they got to be chomping at the bit. You see that someone on the main roster with the push that AJ had with the WWE main roster, if you're Bayley or Becky Lynch or any of these girls or Charlotte, you know, or Sasha Banks, you got to be chomping at the bit right now. Your competitive juice is like, bring me up. You know, so that's what I would be thinking if I was one of those chicks, tell you that right now. And that could happen. That very well could happen. The other thing that jumped out to me on Monday Night Raw was Seth Rollins, you know, was put in a situation where he had to defend his, he had to wrestle on Monday Night Raw, and Neville is the guy that they shockingly came out, like a Mystery Opponent type thing, and I wasn't, like, floored and shocked when he came out, but I was a little taken aback because this kid just debuted last week. And it's like, oh, now he's got to face the WWE champion. Okay, so, you know, if he loses, there's no shame in losing to the WWE champion. I got that. Or to any champion. But, God, this guy just debuted. And he's a special athlete. Just a complete freakazoid wrestler. I mean, the stuff this guy can do, his body, his presence, his stature. He's just very unique character. And God, why are we going to go out there and just have him face the champion so soon? Wasn't crazy about that. Now, some would argue, and I would agree with some of them, well, this match got this kid over even more because he got in there with the world champion and it was more than a competitive match. It was an amazing display of athleticism by Neville in the match. He and Seth Rollins, you know, obviously the chemistry's there, and they could do some great stuff, but and then he gets curb stop, gets beat by the champ with his finish. Got that. I understand how that works. Then they get some more heat on him at the end with another one, I believe, curb stomp. It's a little interesting. I don't really know if I would have put Neville in this position. Not this quick. The other thing, and I tweeted about it during the show, I was a little disappointed, and I thought it was a great opportunity for the announcers or whoever's producing the announcers to bring forward who this young man Neville is. Tell us who he is. Talk about who he is. You know, really, talk about his former NXT champ, all this kind of stuff. Just get into it, man. Get deep into this thing. You got a long match against the world champ. Let's make the guy. Don't let him make himself physically. Make him verbally. I just don't know why that wasn't done. I mean, you know, really, I'm not going to sit here and bash the announcers. I don't know how they were produced. Maybe it was the announcer's fault. I mean, I learned about Earl Campbell. I know that. For those that don't know, great Hall of Fame running back for Houston Oilers, number 34. Was a great running back in the, I don't know, 80s. I learned about him during a match. And I was a fan of Earl Campbell. I was. But I don't I think you gotta you and again, maybe these guys were produced a different way, or maybe it was, I don't know what it was. I mean, I've been in their position. I just think there was an opportunity by someone to make that call. We gotta get this kid over. We got an opportunity to get him over. So I know JBL very well. I know Booker very well. Those guys are professionals. If they're given that right direction, they're going to do it. And they're going to do it right. You know, but it didn't happen for whatever reason. So, a little bit it did. I mean, you know, just I'm from the school of, if this is a new kid out there, look, I'll tell you a quick story, okay? I remember years ago in the WWE, Mordecai, you guys remember him, okay? Mordecai debuted in Las Vegas on a SmackDown, I believe. And Michael Cole and I, now leading up to Mordecai debuting, they had all these vignettes about Mordecai, pushing him. It was great stuff, really, really cool stuff. And, you know, to our discredit, Michael Cole and I, we didn't really do our job of preparing enough notes about those vignettes, bringing those vignettes forward, you know, that type of thing, and bringing people up to speed as this kid debuted. Well, kid, as Mordecai debuted on SmackDown during that time. Well, we got, you know, brought to the principal's office at the end of the show, and Vince sat us down and had a long talk and was upset. He was upset. He goes, I think you guys dropped the ball on us. You didn't get this guy over. You didn't, you know, it was all these vignettes that we built this guy, and you got to build a character. That's your job. What the hell's wrong with you guys? You guys are better than that. Yada, yada. Vince, you're right. We apologize. And he was right, Vince. And he was right to get mad at us. And that's what this reminded me of. This was not, you know, and it went on for a long time during this whole match. And so I don't know if that's how they're produced, or if it was just a thing where maybe they want to just, maybe they're cooling off a little bit on Neville. I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't know what they're doing. And I think the WWE knows he's special. They would never have brought him up if they didn't think he was special. They know he's special, okay? They knew he was special in NXT. They know he's special now. Maybe they're just trying to humble him. Maybe they're trying to break him down before they build him up. That could be. And WWE, anytime they want to turn it up with him, or anyone, they can. And they've proved that, and they can. They have that type of machine that they can turn it up on anyone at any time that they want and make that guy. Yeah, someone said, well, look at Seth Rollins. Look at Roman Reigns. They're still struggling with him. But they're not struggling. They're not struggling. The guy is getting a massive reaction every time. The guy's merch is selling. The guy means more than something. He's a star, Roman Reigns. So the machine worked. So they're doing the right thing. You know what I mean? So, again, we got Austin Aries in this episode coming up shortly. So a little long-winded here in the beginning. Just wanted to lay some of that stuff down on you. And also want to talk about Taz Tales real quick. Taz Tales will be back very soon. Just was doing the live shows. Kind of tough to incorporate that in Taz Tales. And Taz Tales is not going anywhere, folks. It is on HPM to stay. So stay tuned. Probably next week. You know, I'll drop a Taz Tales. All right, well, look, sit tight. Don't go anywhere. This is the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz. You're listening to it right now. Coming up after the break, your boy, the man himself, Austin Aries. Stay tuned. Hey, the Human Podcast Machine will be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine, and as promised, I have the greatest man that ever lived. Some say that's self-proclaimed, but I think he is. A-double, Austin Aries. What's up, my man?
Hey, Josh, what's going on? And every time I hear someone say that, it just sounds ridiculous. It really does. You know?
That's high. That's like, I mean, you know, I don't know much higher you can go on that. I got to be honest.
That's something by high. Yeah.
Did you come up with that?
Well, actually, you know, there's a Weezer song that's the title of the Weezer song that I heard.
Oh.
I actually used the song itself as my entrance music before TNA. So.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, you know, I got to tell you, as a former wrestler and worker and as a guy who's trained guys and all, and you know, I've been around a long time, and I got to tell you, buddy, and you know me pretty good, and I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you and hype you, but You are in the ring, just and your stick work, your presence, your work style. I don't know where you're going to find better. I mean, you are just, and I've never seen you have a bad match. I've been lucky to call a lot of your matches since your time in TNA. And I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of your work and the way you carry yourself as a pro behind the scenes also. But your in-ring work, I mean, I don't know if you were just born this way. Or I know you broke in with Eddie Sharkey, I believe, right?
Yeah, first of all, yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm in Minnesota, Eddie Sharkey's camp. A guy named Terry Fox did a lot of in-ring training. That was kind of the scene I broke out of up there. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's just the thing that I love the most about your work, and I don't know if it's something you think about, if it's just something that you do, because I didn't see a ton of your early work. No disrespect. I just didn't. I knew of you. I knew your name, Ring of Honor and all, but I did see you in Ring of Honor. That's where I actually come to think of it. That's the first time I saw your work was in Ring of Honor. And I remember saying to Jeff Jones, who was a friend of mine, I said to Jeff, I go, man, this guy's unbelievable. And he's like, yeah, I know. I mean, your intensity of the physicality you put out, the way you deliver just basic stuff. There's no wasted motion. Everything is done with intent. You know, you're not a giant guy, as neither was I as a worker. Yeah. So I understand that part of it. So I don't know. Is that something you've always wanted to do, is bring that heavy intensity in your work?
I think when I started out, like, I didn't even realize I was small. Like that. So I know you can relate to that.
Yeah, of course.
But I just think that I never wanted to be pigeonholed as a cruiserweight I wanted to be taken seriously. Like, I feel pretty like in that ring, like, I can wrestle anybody because it's about making people believe. And, I always thought that one of the benefits, but then the positive aspects of not being the biggest guy, I felt I could be a little more physical in there, and not really, that, really injuring anybody.
You're right, well, that was the key.
I can imagine being like, the big show.
Yeah.
Even a guy like Abyss,
big giant guys like that. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Just try to go out there and perform, and obviously, we all get hurt, but you don't want to injure each other. And to be that big and to be able to have that burden, I think it'd be difficult. So I knew that if I was going to make it believable that, I could be in there with a guy like Bobby Lashley. I gotta bring it.
And like I was saying, like the way you work, I think the key to your work is the intensity you bring to the work, to your work. And I think that that's what makes you just such, not an old and just an excellent worker, but the entertainment you bring and the respect that you have from fans and fellow wrestlers, it's because of the intensity you bring.
Well, I appreciate that, and I guess, we all have our cards are dealt, and I think that's what makes wrestling cool, and why it seems to cross over to people who are fans of, like, superheroes and that type of stuff. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, and our profiles and how they match up against the other wrestlers' profile is what, to me, I think what I grew up really liking about wrestling.
Yeah.
The intensity for me and the way I execute things, like, I always wanted, everything I did in that ring, I wanted to do better than everybody else.
Amen. Amen to that.
Even if it was throwing a guy into a turnbuckle, or if I was getting, if I was getting thrown into one.
Right.
Each and every little thing was a personal challenge to do the best I could and different than anybody else.
Well, and the thing that I wanted to chat with you about, what makes you a very unique cat. I mean, not the only one, but you're the only one I know of on the male side, is your diet, and that you're a vegan. I know you're going to correct me on some of the stuff. I know you're going to, bro. You've done it at breakfast with me at a hotel, so I know you're going to correct me. You're not just a vegan. I'm going to let you fill in this whole thing, but the amount of muscle mass you keep on your body, and that you're able to be on the road as much as you are, and no matter if it's overseas or in the States or whatever, and I've been there. I know how hard it is to eat on the road, and I was never as lean as you. I didn't eat like you. I tried to back in the day, but man, it was always hard after a show, so late at night, not only to find a good something with some protein, nevertheless whey protein, but something. But you as a vegan and the way you eat, or I think you're a vegetarian too. You're going to correct me, I know. You're eating sawdust. You're eating shards of glass. I don't know what you're doing, but bring people in that crazy nutritionary world of Austin Aries and tell me the secret how you keep that muscle mass without having red meat. That's what I want to know.
Wow, all right. That was a lot to cover there.
I know. I had to get it out, but I had to get it out.
Good. I eat brown rice, iceberg lettuce, and carrots.
Thank you for coming with us. All right.
The diet of a rabbit. So, you were saying, like, it's hard to find a good meal at midnight on the road after a show or 11, or especially some of these towns, you know.
Yeah.
If you're in a smaller town. But that's across the board, no matter what kind of diet you have. So, a lot of the boys will carry around, packets of tuna, especially the ones who really are conscious about,
Dedicated, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dedicated guys with, packets of tuna. And everyone's got their whey protein shakes.
Of course.
For me, it's like I just have packets of lentils, which, have like 40 some grams of protein, or I have, plant-based protein powders. So, I mean, it's just a different preparation, if you want to eat healthy, no matter what your diet is, you have to kind of take that in your own hands. If you're assuming that the corporations and the majority of the corporate food system has your best interest in mind, it's just not the case. So you've got to educate yourself about your food choices. And for me, it was just easy to kind of eliminate all the animal products and go that route for a number of different reasons.
I mean, the thing for those of you out there listening to this that, maybe never worked out or trained and understand how important it is to take in protein, no matter if it's from red meat or from chicken or from fish or a whey protein supplement powder or what have you. I mean, to hear someone say, you're taking in, so you won't eat whey protein, or you do?
No, I don't. I don't eat whey protein. No, I try to stay away from dairy.
Everything, eggs, no egg whites, no nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I don't know how you get that.
No cheese either.
Well, here's the other thing, Taz. Like I some different things that I've read and seen. I would question the amounts of protein we in fact do need to keep muscle mass. Hmm. I think that maybe some of that has been overstated by the same people who are selling you protein.
I tell you why. I thought of that. I was getting worked. All right.
So I think for a normal person, the amount of protein they need isn't very much at all. Really, and can be obtained just through a diet that's diverse in foods, and if you're trying to put on serious muscle mass, if you're trying to really build a lot of muscle mass, I can understand. Or if you're a high level athlete and you're tearing down your body, which is what we do. We do need more protein to build that back up, or in the case of trying to put on muscle mass, really build even more. But I think if you're trying to maintain your muscle mass, you're just trying to repair. I don't know if some guys will take in a gram and a half or 2 grams per pound of body weight,
right.
not even lean muscle mass, but their actual body weight. And I just don't know if you need that much.
I used to do, what you just said. I would try when I was in my prime, and I was eating as good as I could and training like crazy. I would try my best to take in a gram per pound that I had. Right. It was hard. I mean, I'm sure my kidneys were so overflowed and they're probably gigantic right now. I mean, but.
Well, and that's kind of part of it. Cause, protein isn't easy for the body to, especially in your red meat forms, one of the hardest things for it to break down and digest. So, but as far as plant-based proteins, there's beans and rice, or beans and lentils, nuts, even the breads I buy, I buy sparted grain or like organic breads. You found more in the fridge section. And the one I get, it's like 6 grams of protein per slice.
Oh, wow.
If I had a bread sandwich, which was just 2 pieces of bread with a piece of bread in the middle, that would be 18 grams of protein.
So it's like a Big Mac without all the meat. and cheese. It's just three pieces of bread. Big Mac, right? I know you're a big McDonald's guy, Aries. So
yeah, well, you know, funny story, Taz, is actually in Japan, where the one company I was working with, they frequented the McDonald's was the place they would all stop on the bus ride.
Yep,
so
yep.
I learned to order a Big Mac with no meat. and the funny thing is, it was easier to do that in Japan than it ever was to do here in the
really?
States. Because in
wow.
the States, they look at you, dumbfounded, like, how do you not want the dead cow on there? That's why everyone comes here. They all
you just killed my appetite for lunch.
You don't want the, you don't want that. And in Japan, they're just like, oh, okay. I'm like, I just want tomatoes instead of the beef patties.
Oh
and
man!
In Japan, they're like, okay, yeah. In the States, they're like, what?
You don't want the meat, the dead cow, the horse with no ass?
Hey, come on, don't tell me you don't want colon cancer like the rest of us.
I knew this was going to turn this. Dude, let me tell you. I don't remember where it was, a pay-per-view somewhere for TNA, and I don't know if it was Florida or Cal, I don't remember where we were. And I was eating breakfast. I'm sitting there, Seth, that's my producer, Aries, and I'm talking to myself, looking at my phone. I'm eating breakfast outside, minding my business, and I'm eating like egg whites or something. I had like a couple of pieces of chicken sausage. Figure I'm eating good. I'm not eating like tons of hash browns. I had some rye toast. Aries sits down. Hey, Taz, what's going on? He's got this giant coffee thing with him, and then within 10 minutes, I didn't want to eat another piece of food the rest of my life. So, just killed me, the guy. Nah. But, you know, it's just like, I find it fascinating because, you know, I, as a shorter wrestler, I always found it was very hard for me to keep muscle mass on without being on a ton of performance enhancement drugs, because that wasn't my deal. And I always wanted to keep a good amount of, I always had to keep that stocky frame. That was the Taz gimmick, right? So I wanted to stay around 240, 250. At 5'8", it's a lot of weight, as you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I had to try to train heavy and I was taking a lot of protein. I had as much education in nutrition that I could think. Whatever Perry Saturn told me to do, I did, basically. So anyway.
Sound advice in life. And pass on to your daughters, too.
What would Perry do?
All right, honey, you're a teenager now. I just want you to know that from here on out, I want you to think whatever Perry Saturn is,
that's what
I want
did.
You to lead your
whatever
life.
He ate, I ate. You know, so he looked great. I think, all right. Anyway, I don't want to get into any other stuff about Perry. But, no, so it was hard, though. It was hard to stay thick and muscular. You know, I knew I was never going to be that vascular looking, ripped and lean and stuff. That wasn't my thing anyway. But, you know, I don't know your exact height. We're probably similar height. You're probably a little taller than me, but you're able to keep, like, some legit muscle on. And I'm just so fascinated by that because of the way you eat. And I'm still, like, a dinosaur-minded, you know, former wrestler. It's like, oh, you need to eat enough egg whites. You need to eat, you know, 10 egg whites a day. I did all that crazy shit. I probably killed my body because of my organs are shot. I can feel my organs falling out my anus right now.
I'm so glad I'm here.
So,
well, you know, I think food education in general is something that's kind of still relatively new. You know, I don't think, like, I look just in my family, like, I don't think my mom's generation and certainly not my grandparents, there wasn't a whole lot of thought given to food being good or bad,
right.
You know? And at a certain point, like, I think before the corporations really took over the production of food, the quality of food was different. You know, how it was being raised was different. And so I think that's, you know, to me, that's the bigger thing. You know, I never really... If people want to know what the decisions and the reasons of why I chose to be plant-based and to stay away from animal products, I'll certainly share that. But I'm not trying to gross people out and turn them off to the breakfast.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you meant to. It was my fault, yeah. Dude. I asked you questions, and I still regret those. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no. But I do think, like, the bigger picture is like, I think one of the biggest areas that, you know, people go like, well, you know, I want government in my life, or, you know, screw the man, you know. And it's like, I think one of the biggest places that they kind of have people by the balls is the food industry. Mm. People don't realize it. And when you start to inform yourself about kind of like the food, like what you're really eating first off, and then if that's really good for you or not, or the amounts we're eating, you start looking at things differently. I walk into a regular supermarket, man, and 85% of that's like obsolete. Like it does nothing for them.
Yeah.
You look at your cereal aisles or, you know, kids' foods. It's like, wait, so So kids, it's good to feed sugar, food coloring, and melted down cartilage scraps and bones of animals. We'll call it Jello, and it's fun.
Oh my God.
You know, like delicious. You know, like delicious. Kids love it. Like,
wait, hold on, bro. Really, are you serious? Jello is
Well, gelatin. That's what gelatin is. Gelatin,
I didn't realize
basically
that.
The gelatin's the connective tissues and the skin, just of the animals, and they just kind of melt it down and turn into a powder. And that's what makes God. Everything all like your candies. That's why I only eat the Smarties. You know that big bag of candy they dump up. You know,
yeah,
like,
for TV. Yeah. Go.
Well, I'm only Smarties is like the only thing in there I can eat because Smarties are actually vegan. They don't use the gelatin in them. But everything else pretty much is a gelatin based. You know, a lot of candy.
I never knew that. I have a new respect for Smarties.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Smarties.
Sponsored by Smarties. Yes.
Smarties, if you're looking for a spokesman or a sponsorship deal,
I'm your man.
Yeah. Send me a message on Twitter @AustinAries.
@AustinAries.
Anybody else can follow me there too, of course, but Smarties especially.
We really want them. Yeah, that's Smarties is the gimmick. So now in all locker room there at TNA, right? So it's not just yourself. I believe Angelina Love is she's a vegetarian, vegan. What is her deal?
Yeah, I think she's kind of vegetarian. Like, you know, she started asking me some questions a while back about my diet and stuff, and she was kind of leaning in that direction. So I think she's, you know, here's the tough part. Like, we use labels to easily identify things, and people go, oh, okay, you're like this. And you were saying earlier, like, I'm going to correct you and stuff. Like the term vegan is the easiest thing. But, like, I mean, to be quite honest, like, strict vegans, you know, they don't wear any animal products, you know, no leather, no, you know, things like that. And there's some concessions I make. You know, I wear leather wrestling boots, you know. There's leather in my car.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I'm, you know, so I just say I follow a plant based diet, you know, and so like, as far as Angelina, like, I don't know if she has a label. Like, I know she's pretty much vegetarian. She may eat fish or something occasionally. Some people do eat. So
there's a line in there somewhere. There's a line in there somewhere, but I'm going to be a gentleman.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
I'm really just trying to set you up and get yourself
you
in trouble.
But I know you are. That's
how. You keep dodging them on me. Jeez. That would be a lot easier than this.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
You know, but some people do that. They'll be a little bit of snapper, but, you know, still kind of, you know.
Jeez, come on,
mostly a vegetarian diet.
See, that's the real Austin Aries right there. That's the guy I know. So look, man, you've done all this great stuff. You've held, I mean, geez, I mean, I believe, you know, every... TNA World Champion, X Division Champion, you know, Triple Crown Champion, TNA, Ring of Honor, you know, your championships there, 2 times Ring of Honor Champ, Tag Team Champion, Ring of Honor. I mean, you've had so many championships, I think because people, promoters or bookers or writers or whatever, you're kind of like that guy, in my opinion, that it's a layup. It's easy. If we need to make a belt or a championship, we put it on someone like an Austin Aries. I think that's how people that are in a booking or creative position, I don't care what company it is, would look at a fella like you. Because if you're in-ring work, your promo ability, the way you carry yourself behind the scenes, you know, you don't have to worry about a guy like you showing up, you know, drunk or high or whatever, or missing shots because you're a professional. You're all business. You take your career seriously. You're the hood ornament, to me, of what a pro wrestler should be today. I mean that.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, man, if only we were 6 feet tall, Taz. You know,
yeah.
You know, as I've been told, or my favorite is the one, you look a lot bigger on television.
Yeah. You've got this one. Yeah, you're a good little worker.
I haven't gotten that one yet.
No. Oh, that used to be back in the day. Me and Paul Heyman, Heyman and I used to joke. Paul would hate when someone would say that to me or any guy that was like not tall. He would hate that. If you ever see Paul Heyman, say to him, "Hey, Paul, people tell me I'm a good little worker." He'll crack up laughing because it's like an inside joke. It's pretty funny.
I'll tell him that you told me that he told you that I was a good little worker.
Yeah, you tell him that. Yeah, because he doesn't like me. It depends on the week. Yeah. He might not like me. You know, the ECW guys. changes every week. You know how that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten the championship through security or whatever, and the TSA guy. You know, is there a replica belt you got there? No, that's the real belt. What's that the belt of?
Where do you get that on eBay?
Yeah. Well, look me up and down. Well, you don't look big enough to be world heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't really sound smart enough to be a TSA. We're both here making money, so we must be doing something right. You're playing the catch.
Dude, but you're right. The people are so, especially at the airport, when they know you're a TV personality, a wrestler, whatever, they just think that they could say whatever the frig they want to you. And I know what you're saying. It's so rude. Like, well, you don't look big enough to be a champion. You know what? Why don't we go in the ring and we'll see? You know, I mean, really, like, you know, there's no respect, you know, because they just don't know any better.
They also have power. They can control whether you get on the plane or not.
Well, those TSA guys, yeah, well, that in itself is scary, because if you look at some of these guys, that's a whole other story.
If I hold my lighter up to your badge and it melts, you're not a real law enforcement dude. You're just a dude who can call a law enforcement dude. Just remember that. Like, you have a walkie-talkie that gets you to the guy who can really do something to me. Because I've had that guy called before at the airport. I had seven people standing around me, including like the guy in the suit, the head of the TSA of the airport, his secretary, and two cops, and five TSA guys, and we're having a big conversation about their procedures and why I'm not comfortable with them. And then I said to him, you know, you realize that, you know, you're here, you have me, like, hardly a suspect, and I've got all these resources being wasted on me because you want to take me in a private room and molest me because your explosive detectors are sensitive to hand lotion. They don't think maybe that might be an issue. Like, how do I go from pre-check to have to get whisked away into a private secure location?
Dude, talk about listen.
That's a big gap to fill.
That's a big gap. How about this pre-check gimmick? Do you remember not too long ago when pre-check was like something special where you had to be a frequent traveler? Now it's like any ham and egg.
Now it's 80. Yeah, it's $80.
Yeah, and it's like
it's kind of like wrestling schools, Taz.
That's a good point.
Kind of a protective, you know, like a protective thing where you kind of.
Yeah, it was just coded, you know.
Now, $85 or whatever, and fill out this waiver, and give me $85, and you're good.
You could get the TSA pre or learn how to lock up and drop down, toe hold, and do something else. But it's like you look at some of these TSA people. It's like, yo, these people are travelers like me, but yet I travel constantly on a plane. And when you go through TSA pre, like, and you start taking your shoes off and you're in front of me, I know there's a problem. I'm like, okay.
They're like wandering through, like, wait, so what is this line?
Yeah,
like,
what this line here? Is? Why are you here on this line? I'm scared now. What are you doing here? You know what I mean? Like, it's craziness. But back to the topic of pro wrestling. So for you, like, you've had so many great matches, and you know, like I said earlier, and I really mean it, man, I don't remember ever seeing you have a bad match. I'm sure you have, and you probably know all of the matches you had that were bad. But
I hate them all. I hate all of them.
I hear you. Yeah, so you're tough on yourself then. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I was the same way.
That was awful.
Yeah, well, yeah, I gotta ask you the cliche thing. You know, as you can tell here, this deal, what I do is I don't interview people. I just talk, man. We just have a conversation. That's what this is, just like people eavesdropping on, you know, a former wrestler and a current wrestler talking. And you know, I gotta ask you, man, who, if there is a favorite, and I'm gonna put you on the spot, who would you say, who do you like working with the best? Like, for me, it was Sabu. I loved working with Sabu. So do you have a Sabu? Like, who do you like working with the best?
I'm weird. I've been starting to answer this way because usually, like, I try to, like, strain my brain, but, like, I don't think I'm the guy who has, like, a favorite anything. Like, I always have a collection of things that stand out, but never, like, very, very rare, like, whether it's in, like, you know, bands or movies or anything. It's like, oh, this one is above everything else. So, yeah. And I think, like, my favorite opponents are the same way. Like, I've been lucky to get in there, man, like, you're gonna look back and go, like, by some of the most talented guys, you know, and especially in this generation,
yeah.
You know, and I've gotten to be in the ring with them. So, But, you know, a guy like Samoa Joe, who it's always, it's just always from the very first time when in that match, you know, the Ring of Honor title match kind of being what put me on the map, you know, and always just had a good chemistry with him, you know.
Well, you and Rude, and current, you and Rude obviously have a great chemistry.
I was going to say, you know, me and Bobby and me, whether we're, you know, against each other or teaming, you know, obviously I had some, you know, Brian Danielson. You know,
for sure.
And I'm sure a lot of guys can say with Brian because he's just, you know.
He's so talented. Good. Yep. He's, yeah. You know, that crew, man, that Ring of Honor deal, man, I remember several years back before, you know, Hugo and other guys like yourself or Joe, you know, do it big in TNA, or Tyler Black, who's Seth Rollins, does it big in WWE, and Brian Danielson, who's Daniel Bryan now, WWE, do it big, and I mean, I'm missing a couple here and there.
CM Punk,
I forgot about it. He's a pretty big name to forget. Well, I didn't mean to forget him, but you get my drift. Like, cats, man, really just that generation, just your generation. Just blew up. I mean, just really, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, I've seen that over the years, different waves of generation. You know, I would like, for me, like, I was lucky to be in that generation, what similar guys during our time, you know, from the Guerreros to, you know, Malenkos to, you know, that type of guy, you know, or Jericho's, and you know what I mean? So, Edge, Christian, you know, that type of stuff. So, I think you guys are doing it big, man, seriously.
Yeah, no, I've said, you know, people say, well, Ring of Honor, and I love Ring of Honor, and I always, the place always has, you know, special place in my heart, you know, and I think sometimes it's been taken the wrong way or out of context. So I said, you have to understand, like, not all Ring of Honors are created equal, you know, like, and that's a bias on my part, of course.
Yeah.
But you're going to look back at a certain period of time in that early, you know, say from year 2000, you know, early 2000s, 2003 into 2007, you know, the collection of guys who either were main guys or who passed through there and what they're going to go on and do for the rest of their career. Like,
right.
Some of the most influential guys, you know, to go down in the history of wrestling. And you had that there. And I think you could probably pick a certain period in ECW where you had guys like Austin and Foley in there coming through and Phil, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
Those guys that go on to do. And so I said, you know, so it's not fair to compare every version of Ring of Honor. And the guys that are there now could be the next generation of guys at some point, you know, guys coming out of there now and say, you know.
Well, if you look at like an NXT, even though it's part of WWE, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, there's a boatload of talent there also, young guys, you know, and that's making a lot of noise, obviously, in the business right now is NXT. I don't know if you got a chance to watch, but I know you're working a lot, but I'm just saying they got some really young guys that are real good down there.
Yeah, no, and they're you know, they're also filling with guys from outside the system, which...
Good point. Yeah.
I've always, no matter where I've gone and if I've done seminars or even when I've had my own schools and taught guys, I've always, you know, because it was the same way I was taught, was encouraged to, hey, you got to go out there and work as many places as you can with different people,
how you
many
get better.
Styles.
How
put you yourself better. In every different yeah. position you can think of, because that's how you learn.
That's right.
And how you adapt and how you figure out how to get over no matter where you are.
That's right. There you go. You that's know? A lost thought right there, what you just said, by the way, yeah. I think, yeah.
So you can get guys to manufacture guys in a certain bubble, and they can be over or know how to perform to be over in that bubble, but you take them outside that, and they can't adapt, or all of a sudden the larger audience doesn't, you know?
Right.
And they don't know what to do. And so we've all had to go out and learn and fail and come back and figure it out long before some of us ever got that opportunity to go out on television and have that. That shot. So I think that's important, you know.
I do. I agree. For me, I agree. I know in my years, you know, like getting out of my comfort zone as a worker made me better. So to your point, you know, I mean, so, and I think that, you know, as long as the NXT deal or Triple H, whatever they're doing down there, as long as they could get guys from outside the system that they don't do mass production of pro wrestlers or sports entertainers, then that's bad, you know. So, but who knows? We'll see. I mean, the product itself of NXT, I think, is excellent because there's not much thinking involved. I also think they have a big advantage because they're doing only 1 hour. You know, I think 1 hour is a big deal. You know, I think, you know, if you're doing a three-hour show like Raw, sometimes even with TNA, a two-hour show, sometimes it could get, and not just TNA, but like most wrestling's been 2 hours, these TV broadcasts, and sometimes it could, you could overstay your welcome as a brand, I think, you know, unless you're given nonstop insane action.
Well, I suppose, but I mean, you know, from a philosophical standpoint, I would argue that, you know, if 2 hours to me is a good time, and it shouldn't drag and shouldn't be hard to fill. I think that you can always give more time and emphasis on what's going on in the ring. I don't think any of the wrestlers would argue with that.
Hey, I'll tell you, how about, dude, I remember, to your point here, I remember being on a Raw, and we had, like, let's say it was 8 minutes. It was a three-way. Me, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho. Those two entrances went out. I was the third entrance. It was a three-way match. And we had, like, 9 minutes budgeted for the match. And by the time I walked through the curtain, before I walked through the curtain, Bruce Pritchard was running Gorilla, dude. He said to me, go home. How's that? I swear to God, Austin, I'm not kidding. You know what I mean? He's telling me, basically, we had a two-minute go-home spot, so by the time we got in the ring, all that other stuff was out of the mat. So I see what you're saying, like, about time is an essence for wrestlers to tell the physical story of the match, as long as creatively that the brand is doing that, you know?
I'm a believer in wrestling, and I'm a believer that if you have a talented roster, and everything's about playing to roster strengths. We have an immensely talented roster in the ring. We have guys who can tell good stories, you know, can keep people's attention and captivate them by what they do in between the ropes.
No doubt.
So, you know, it takes the pressure off of everyone else as far if you keep the emphasis on that, and you know. So, just to your point of that 2 hours can be difficult, I think 1 hour, of course, I mean, but you also have to be more focused, and there's less opportunities for people to be on your show.
That's true.
So,
but you know,
I think it's good to see, listen, man, everywhere where guys can go and get that experience.
That's all that matters.
And there's more opportunities for guys, the better, you know. And I think, you know, right now wrestling's at an interesting time, man. It seems like there's more and more things that are sustain themselves, and that's good. That's good. It creates competition. It creates more opportunities.
Great for business. You know, great for business. Yeah. Resurgence, right, of wrestling.
That's best for business.
That's right. And now, so your time right now in TNA, I mean, you've probably been in TNA, what, 5 years, 4 years? I know you came to TNA and then left, but now the time since you're back, I should say. You seem like you're, you know, I mean, things are going great for you, I would assume. That's what it seems.
Yeah, man. You know, I just want to. I'll be honest. I want to get back. I want to get back holding the championship. You know, I mean, it was nice to get there, but I never really felt like I got a chance to really get off the ground and kind of show people what I could do in that with that. And so that's kind of where my focus is. You know, I think I'm in my peak. You know, I'm certainly not. Even though I have to remind myself sometimes, I forget, but I'm not a spring chicken anymore. You know, I'm not the hot up and comer. You know.
No, but I hear what you're saying. I know, you're like a stalwart. That's the wrong word. Like a cornerstone type locker room guy, like yourself or Bobby Roode. You know, guys that are in their prime, and young up and comer. Those times are great for myself or for you. You're not a young up-and-comer, but you're a prime guy, you know, and you've been a prime guy for a while, you know, and I think it's still going to go for a while, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel good, you know, and that's what people always ask me about, you know, well, you know, is it healthier, you know, about my eating habits? And you know, when we have those doctors and they're giving us the blood pressure, the checks before the shows, man, like I'm always smashing everybody in blood pressure. And when I go and get my cholesterol levels checked, they're, you know, insanely, ridiculously good.
Wow.
You know, my inflammatory levels are basically non-existent because I don't eat things that are acidic to my body, like, you know, which most animal products are. So there's a lot of health benefits, too. And that doesn't mean that it has to be 100%.
of the time every day. That's, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to spread as a message is especially the people within the community, the plant-based community. You know, I've done some stuff with PETA, and it's something I've expressed to them that, you know, we should be inclusionary and kind of applaud any steps people make to educate themselves and take some steps to maybe eliminate some of the animal products in their diet. Because if you think about it, man, and I don't know if this holds true for you, but a vast majority of people, like, every time they sit down and eat, they're going to consume some sort of animal product. They're going to consume a meat, a dairy, or egg every time, every meal, every day, every day of their life. So when you, so saying about, like, going all the way, all in, like I didn't necessarily, but if you reduce that by 10% or 15% or 20%, like, that has a huge impact across the board. You know,
like quitting smoking or something.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, it really does. I mean, you know, and people want to talk about global warming. I mean, and when you realize the ridiculous amounts of resources that we use to raise a pound of beef, you know, like, it's obscene. Because when you look from a worldview, and, you know, we've been lucky enough to, in wrestling, to be able to travel all over the world and see different cultures. And
right.
Not everything's, we're not the center of the universe, and you know, always thought it was number one. You know, when you realize there's people in this country and around the globe, like, starving, and there's not enough food, but yet we can justify wasting these huge amounts of resources of land and grain and water to raise animals to then kill them and eat them, like, that's not very efficient anymore. You know, like, it's a business model. Like, there's something a little flawed in it. You know, so. I don't know, man. It's just from a whole different bunch of different angles when you look at things. It's not what we're programmed to think. You know.
Yeah.
But the other thing, if you take a little baby cow that's, you know, fresh out of the womb, you know, even being a human suplex machine and the monster that you were in the ring.
Yeah.
If you put little baby cows into a playpen with a baby pig and a baby cat, like, it's not going to, like, pet the cat and go over and kill the cow and start eating it. You know.
No, it probably wouldn't.
It's going to pet them both and think they're both cute and love them and hug them. So, like, the idea that some of these ones are ones that we care about in the humane society, and the cats and the dogs, and, oh, my God.
That's funny.
Michael Dog was fighting his dogs. He's a monster. All right, but come on, kids. Let's go get some double Big Macs with cheese. Those feel better. I can't believe they're able to torture animals like that. Like, there's a disconnect for me there, because when I look at it from a different perspective, but wait a minute, like, why? So these ones we pet and we care about, and they're cute.
Yeah,
these ones we don't give a fuck about. Sorry, I don't know if we started.
Nah, you just did. It's just okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So, it's all right.
But, you know, I mean, so, I don't know. So there's just some ridiculousness to some of it, too, man, where I'm just like, if you look at it like this, maybe I'm not, not the weird one. Maybe drinking, like, milk from a cow is kind of more strange.
That could be a little strange. Yeah, when you say it like that.
What if they just made human breast milk cheese? Would anybody eat that? Would they think that's weird?
God,
that's weird.
That's a little gross.
No, but wait.
But it's good, but you're going to have dirty cow milk, though.
Dirty cow. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah. Yeah. I don't drink milk, but I love cheese. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, but I was the same way, man. Like, I really was. I hated milk growing up, but, you know, Wisconsin, like, cheesehead, man.
Yeah, cheesehead.
Yeah. You love cheese. But, you know what?
So, wait, are you, like, a Packers fan?
I am.
Okay, now, look, I'm eating you up. Pardon the pun, because here's the deal. You're a Packers fan. Packers are named after meat packing, correct?
Oh, is that what it was? I thought it had some sexual innuendo.
That's a whole different sport. A whole different sport.
Here, I thought I was just being open-minded and supporting all lifestyle choices.
And in a cheese sense. So here's Austin Aries. He's a Packer fan who support meat packing, as far as packing, not, you know, I digress. And they walk around with cheese on their head as they're rooting for the green and yellow of the Green Bay Packers. So I don't know, bro. Yeah. That's a little weird. You should be a Buffalo Bills fan.
You know, they make cheese out of nuts and stuff now, so he probably has his own cheese head that's not real cheese.
They do.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, they make really good cheese out of nuts, actually. You ever had Fromunda cheese at all?
Oh, Seth, my producer's a huge fan of Fromunda cheese. Yeah, he knows.
That's
from
my nuts.
Yeah. On that note,
from these. In all seriousness, Austin, do you have any websites or anything where people can learn more about, like, your lifestyle choices as far as veganism?
Yeah, you know what? Like, and I'll be honest. I have a setup, and I haven't updated it as much as I'd like. But now that I'm kind of getting settled into LA, hopefully that stuff will get up and on the regular again. But yeah, it's at Austin Healy, Healy, Aries.com. That's also my Instagram at Austin Healy Aries, and then at Austin Aries on my Twitter. And
so, do you have like on your Instagram? I got to check it out. Do you have like pitch photos of like trees and plants on there, or like bushes, animals, or like cauliflower, or no, he has no pitch animals. This is all
slaughtered animals.
No, I'm asking if he's got pitch of plants. I want to know. What's your deal? Because I'm a little disappointed about this Green Bay Packer thing. I'm telling you, I'm surprised at you.
Do I have pictures of plants? Do you have pictures of cows on your Instagram?
I have to get an Instagram first, and then I will put pictures of fish because I like sushi better than cow meat. I do like fish. That's a little better than red meat, right? A little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, again, and I always say, like, people say, what?
He's going to bury fish now. He's going to get ready, folks. Here comes the burial. Go ahead. Go ahead. I know what's coming.
Dirty ocean.
Here we go. Come on.
Well, that's one concern, you know. Like, what's, you know,
here it comes.
What environment are your fish living in, and are they, you know,
piss and poo poo, piss and poo poo, right? Yeah, they're swimming around their own piss and poo poo,
and oil,
there's that too. had a couple of instances over the years of just dumping huge amounts of oil into the ocean. But yeah, you know, that's neat. Hey, would you grab it, honey? Would you grab a paper towel? Yeah, still a little bit of oil in the ocean. I know.
I love the sarcasm. It's awesome. It's great shit. I love it. Oh man, but, I love you.
Yeah,
you're funny.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, it's all about like, here's the thing. Like, we've been all taught, like, health wise to think of healthy in terms of, you know, calories, fats, proteins, carbohydrates.
Yes.
You know, like, that's how we define good or not good. And I guess, so you peel back that layer and look another layer or two deeper, it's good or not good, and it changes your perspective of the food system. We start thinking about things like artificial colors, like red number 40, or things like gelatin. Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, fake sugars, or, you know, it's sugar-free. Well, yeah, because you put a bunch of chemical sugar in there. Like, I love the shit you see now. It was like, I saw like a bag of, it's like Twizzlers. I said, fat-free.
Like, well, oh, yeah, I know. It's all sugar, though, right? It's calories that turns the fat. Yeah, it's all sugar. Yeah, I know. I know. I taught my son that at a young age. Don't be fooled by that stuff that says fat-free. It's loaded with sugar, you know.
You were talking about before, about the corporations, so, marketing.
Right, it's a work. Yeah, no, of course, they're trying to make money.
That's it. And so I always tell people, well, I want to, what can I do? I said, the first thing to do is when you go to the grocery store, like, before you buy things, turn the product over and read the ingredients list and read what you're buying, because that's the only place that really gives you the real information, so we hope, of what's in there. And start looking at your ingredients list and realize that you don't know what half the shit is.
Right.
You can't pronounce it, or it's, you know.
That's a problem.
And so,
I agree. Yeah.
If you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't buy it,
you shouldn't be buying it, right? Yeah, no, I agree.
But
I agree.
If you have a choice, and, like, not all peanut butters are made the same. Not all breads are made the same. Not all pasta sauces are equal. So it's about making a bunch of small little choices over the stuff you still like to eat can add up, too. It's not about maybe a huge overhaul of diet, necessarily, right off the bat.
Right.
But just start to make a bunch of more educated decisions, and that's all it is. And it's so funny because, you know, we just had National Pie Day, and it's like, you know what? Like, ask me how many times I've used pie since school, but you know what? Like, I would rather they took the time and taught me about apple pie than 3.14159, whatever. You know, like, we don't. Is it weird to anybody else that something that we're supposed to, like, sustain our life, and that really is the base of our health, is something that we're not educated on it whatsoever in school, except for like a semester of a year?
Yeah.
Or why our doctors, on average, in their 4 years of medical school, are spending about 2.5 hours on nutrition? You know, or why your doctor never asks you what you eat when you come in there, but he's writing out a prescription for some drug pill as you're telling your ailments. Like, that's the cure.
Or you can just go to get, you know, a lap band surgery. Just put a rubber band around your stomach.
Yeah,
you
can do that.
You just suck it out.
You can just get like a suction, big suction pump, and just suck out everything. Yeah, that's good.
We can put like a permanent colostomy bag on the side of you, but instead of your shit, it's going to just suck your fat out. And then you just deposit your bag of fat when they get
full. On that note, I'd like to thank you. All right, bro, look, it's all kidding aside, it's been great having you on, and I wanted people to hear, you know, just obviously about you and your career, but and your abilities and how talented you are, but also about all kidding aside, we're having a little fun with it, but you're making your points, and you're right, about nutrition and the food that, you know, you put in your body, and you're still able to be such an insanely high level world class athlete, and you're kind of changing the way people think, and I think crashing a lot of myths for former athletes like myself about nutrition. So I appreciate the education. I mean that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and you know, I'm hoping to have a book out sometime in the middle of the year that kind of just
wow.
You know, just kind of talking about this stuff mostly, and just kind of my journey into wrestling and how this correlated, and kind of talking about all the you know, basically the 10, you know, it's like the 10 same questions I'm always asked when people find out, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, man, you could come on here and promote it, because, you know, there actually are no other wrestling podcasts out there. So if you want to come promote it on mine, because I'm the only one, you can do that here. So.
That's awesome. This is a whole new phenomenon. It's kind of cool, like this whole podcast thing.
Pioneer, bro. I'm a pioneer.
I know.
Austin,
it's awesome.
If we get Monsanto as a sponsor, though, you can't come on.
Yeah, well, you know, my book is going to be genetically modified, so, I mean, I think we're going to be okay.
Oh, good. Good.
I got Monsanto on board, you know?
Awesome.
And don't worry, like, GMOs are safe because GMOs. They did a test. Their scientists did a test, like a 4-month search, and gave the findings to our, you know, the FDA, and they said, okay, that's cool.
It's like, serious.
Please. I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
awesome, man.
Well, look, man, it's great. I was going to go get Mexican for lunch, but instead I'm going to eat that treat I'm looking at through the window here.
Ingredients, cheese product.
Yeah, yes. I know. Well, look, man, I haven't seen you at these shows because I've been calling the shows in Nashville, but I'm sure I'll bump into you soon enough, man. You're doing great stuff. Keep it up, man. Love calling your matches. Proud to say that I do that. And big fan of your work. Always have been. Big fan of you personally also.
Appreciate it, man. It was a pleasure coming on here, man. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah, buddy. Sounds good. All right. Double A. A double. Talk to you soon, brother.
All right. Take care, Ted.
See you, man.
Peace.
All right, look, I got to go take a break right now. Hold on. Wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back. Well, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, check this out. Last year, Peter from Colorado, he won $1 million at DraftKings, yo, in one day. Just by playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter promo code Taz, that's T-A-Z, to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code Taz for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, as they say in the movie world, that is a wrap-a-doo. It's all done, folks. I want to thank my guest, Austin Aries, the greatest damn man to ever live anytime soon. A double is the man. Great interview. I will never eat a piece of meat again. I'm lying. But anyway, Austin Aries just brought us into his whole world, everything about his training and his nutritional deal and what he's about as a wrestler and as a person. So it was great catching up with Austin Aries. I want to sincerely thank him for coming right here on HPM and chilling with your boy, the Human Suplex Machine. So, also, we will rock and roll. I'm probably going to drop a reaction show here soon on a couple of different shows. So stay tuned for that right here at HPM. And like I said at the top of the show, going to keep you posted on Taz Live. I know a lot of you guys are buzzing about it. Please keep buzzing about it. And you can let Radio.com or CBS Radio, namely, know about it or Play.it or at their Twitter accounts. Let them know you want to hear more Taz Live. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we should be getting going here soon with that. And also want to say this. Next week, going to have a very cool guest. Old friend of mine from back in the WWE days. ESPN's own The Grish. Todd Grisham. Yes. Grish will be my guest right here on the Human Podcast Machine. Going to catch up with Todd Grish and all of his success at ESPN and whatnot, and talk about his days in the WWE. It's going to be a fun time. Grish is a very sarcastic, funny, quick-witted, crazy son of a bitch. I promise you that. He's different than you guys think. He's a good dude. So that's going to be next week right here on HPM. And that's it. And I want to thank you guys for downloading and subscribing. Please spread the word. Let folks know what I'm doing here. And I appreciate you guys. I mean, without you guys, the show would not be here. Rocking and rolling free right here on Play.it or iTunes. So thank you very much. My name is Taz. Yours is not. See ya.